You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
I think that Keith Alexander and I would like to dedicate that particular song to each and every one of you listening out there in Radio Land. Thank you for joining us this evening. It is another Saturday night, and so you know where we are. It's Saturday Night Live here at TPC. And, well, there's no other place we would ever be, would want to ever be, or would possibly ever be. Yeah, but it is remarkable, I think, remarkable. What are a lot of people doing? Now, I know a lot of people listen to us live. A lot of people listen to us after the fact. But Saturday night's prime time for going out. You know, and I have a young family, and everybody's up to stuff on Saturday night. But we're here to work on Saturday nights. That's the opportunity we were given, and airtime we were given. And so that's where we're at, and that's what we do. But it is so nice to be with you, Keith, and with our extended family out there in the listening audience.
And happily, we're like a podcast, since you can play back every week what we've done. So you can basically access
They used to call that archives.
Yeah.
I call it archives, but you know.
But you really, you know, now I've become hip to all this new jive talk and whatnot. This is actually what a lot of people would call a podcast. Just get back into it anytime that your little heart desires. If you're driving to work, you know, you've got an MP3 player, or you just, you know, can have a computer. You just have that next to you, and you can plug it in and listen to us to your heart's content whenever you want to.
You know, we mentioned this last week in the first hour, but I'll tell you, somebody who's been into it has been all of our friends down in Montgomery. You get a chance to read that whole four-part...
Oh, yeah, right. The SPLC must have a large file cabinet at the very least, and probably more than that, maybe a whole room where they have analyzed us and dissected out what we've said. They know where to go. What did James Edwards say about this? What did Keith Alexander say about that and whatnot? And, you know, they say that, you know, all I know is that they wouldn't be paying attention to us if they didn't think we were effective.
Well, they had the scatter plot that showed our tentacles, and somebody commented to me that that was the chaos of the liberal mind. It just looked like a liberal brain, the chaos that would exist inside the brain of a liberal. But I couldn't let it go. I hadn't thought about the SPLC in a while. They used to nip at our heels so often back in those first 10 years we were on the air before anybody else started to join the party and talk about the issues we were talking about. And then there's been a proliferation over the course of the last
great advertising.
The last 6 years, there's been some proliferation, and other people are doing it and doing it quite well. But it caused me to remember the history of the SPLC. So, as you know, if you haven't seen it yet, radical extremist left-wing fundraising operation known as the Southern Poverty Law Center has attacked us over the years with countless hit pieces since we first went on the air. And I don't know, I really don't know if there's any other individual or organization that has been targeted by their thugs as many times in the past 17 years as we have. And it has been a really remarkable and bizarre array of tactics they've used to attempt to undermine us, including one of their staffers posing as a college-aged girl who was interested in the program, trying to get more information. She didn't identify herself, number one, using her real name, or number two, as being associated with the SPLC in any capacity when she first began her correspondence.
Look, I had a similar situation. I had, after we printed that thing, Keith Alexander the Great, that basically gave biographical information about me, I got a call out of the blue from somebody in East Tennessee that said they were a relative and they wanted my father's military record, so I made a copy of it and sent it on. And after that, I heard nothing
more. Well, that's your first mistake.
I tried to get in contact with them. Well, you know, quite frankly, my father's military record is something I'm not ashamed to show anybody. In fact, only modesty prevents me from doing that.
Well, he did great work at Chickamauga.
No, he didn't do that, but he was, you know, he got two bronze stars at, you know, in France, basically around the time of the Battle of the Bulge. But see, that type of stuff, they're doing that. You know, if you get a call out of the blue from somebody that wants personal information,
don't answer.
You know, the red alert comes out. You know.
So that was one of the things. That was another bizarre, unhinged rants from official SPLC email accounts sent to us. We documented that. We got all the emails, of course. But the SPLC itself has been thoroughly discredited by independent media arbiters like the Baltimore Sun and Harper's Magazine. And then, of course, there was the time that, according to the Cincinnati Inquirer and many other establishment media outlets, the SPLC directly inspired an act of domestic terrorism against a Christian organization. How many times have we done that? Zero. The Family Research Council, according to the Cincinnati Inquirer, that's basically the USA Today subsidiary that serves Cincinnati. The SPLC is a nonprofit group that supports and promotes traditional ideas. Oh, excuse me, that's not the SPLC. That's the Family Research. That's the Family Research Council. I'm reading from the Cincinnati Inquirer article. Family Research Council is a nonprofit group that supports and promotes traditional ideas of marriage and family. For its efforts, the SPLC designated it an extremist hate group deserving of condemnation. Floyd Lee Corkins II thought it deserved even more than that. Based on the SPLC's hate map, which we have populated and been a resident on since 2005, I'm proud to say, which included the FRC, the Family Research Council, for its opposition to homosexual marriage, Corkins attacked the FRC headquarters in Washington, D.C. He shot and wounded a security guard before being subdued and arrested. He directly named the SPLC as his inspiration for the assault. He was convicted of domestic terrorism in 2011. Now, isn't that what they said? Supposedly, Keith, supposedly, and I say supposedly because I've never seen evidence of that, only the media's word that Dylann Roof at one time in his life visited the website of the Council of Conservative Citizens. But of course, Dylann Roof himself never said, hey, the Council of Conservative Citizens inspired me to shoot up the church in Charleston. But no, this man actually said it was specifically and directly because of the SPLC that he committed this act of terrorism. So it's, again, projection always with these people.
Well, what they're doing is what we talk about almost every week here. The left is dying for there to be another Emmett Till incident. They're dying for another.
They're dying for it so bad. That's why Emmett Till's still in the New York Times headlines every day.
I mean, he is, you know,
the gift that keeps on giving to them.
Yeah, right. The gift that keeps on giving.
And they don't care about him, by the way. They couldn't care less about him. They hate us so bad. They are using this kid's death.
They want an example to substantiate their slanders about us. We'll talk more about all of this after these words from our sponsor.
Anything about me anymore.
Honey, I know you're good at math. You don't like English. I know Ryan smiled at you yesterday at school. I know your favorite color is purple. And I know you don't like mushrooms. And who can blame you? I mean, mushrooms are a fungus, and people generally try to avoid funguses. Or is it fungi? I'm never quite sure. But, you know, either way, I mean, penicillin is good.
Penicillin is a mold.
Huh. Well, I guess you're right. So you like penicillin, but not mushrooms.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear.
Mom, if we talk, will you be quiet?
Love to.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at mormon.org.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Hey girl, won't you gather around? Because of what I'm putting down. Woo! Baby, your handyman. Yeah! I'm not the kind of use a pencil or room. I'm busy 24 hours to prove I'm big, broken heart.
Well, that's the late, great Del Shannon right there, Keith. That kind of reminds me of us, I guess you could say. We're busy 24 hours a day. That's rock and roll now, am I wrong? Handyman.
That's what we are, but on the other hand, in the eyes of the SPLC, we're the fountain of all evil. And
well,
see, what they're trying to do, just to finish up what we were saying before the break, they're desperately looking for another Emmett Till. They're looking for another Dylann Roof. They can't find them, so they have to invent them. One of their inventions is this hate watch map. See, there's just not enough Klan outfits to serve their purposes. Now, Klans, Nazis, and whatnot are scarce as hen's teeth nowadays, but never fear, the SPLC will tell you that
the singing nuns of Spokane were there, maybe perhaps still are. Of course, we're there, and you know, really, if you're not there, you're not doing it right. That we
see
innocuous
groups like the American Family Association and you know, what's the National Family Council? What's that guy's name?
Yeah, Family Research Council.
Floyd, what was that guy's name? James Dobbins. That's right. See, people like that, Casper Milk Toast organizations, have now been turned into these demonic entities, if you listen to the bills that you get from the SPLC.
In the meantime, what's really going on? They are the ones misrepresenting themselves, not telling you their real names, trying to get you to slip up and become compromised, not telling you who they're with. I mean, that's treachery. I mean, that's really low, even by media standards. They are the ones who have actually inspired acts of domestic terrorism, not the Council of Conservative Citizens. And incredibly, the SPLC's leaders have even been accused by their own co-workers of fostering, and I quote from CNN, a systemic culture of racism and sexism. I thought that's what we were doing with the whole world. No, that's actually what they're doing in their own offices, which led to the firings and resignations of top SPLC executives. I read now from CNN itself, hardly a friend of Christians and of conservatives. Some employees of the Southern Poverty Law Center, CNN writes, say the legendary civil rights nonprofit group suffers from a systemic culture of racism and sexism within its workplace. The claims have been followed by changes in its leadership and a company-wide review. The SPLC president resigned and a co-founder was fired. CNN spoke with three current employees of the organization who talked on conditions of anonymity because of fears over retribution. It was one of those employees who cited the systemic problems with racism and sexism, and a second employee agreed with that assessment. So, Keith, here we have the hypocrites are accused of engaging in the exact type of behavior that they allege everyone else is perpetrating. That is rich.
Well, what they're doing is, you know, they've said since the French Revolution that the revolution eats its own young, okay? That's what they're doing. They basically had a new group of young Turks that wanted to take over this SPLC. So they had a problem. They had to get rid of the old guard. Well, they got rid of the old guard in the time-honored way that leftists always have by accusing them of being reactionaries, just like the Jacobins got rid of the Girondists in the French Revolution. You know, it's really probably the group that's in the most danger from the SPLC are other extreme liberals who somehow are competing for the same dollars as they are. You know?
All right, well, here again. You know, frankly, though, I think this is the bottom line. I don't want to replow the same field we talked about last week, but I always have wanted, I've always gotten it, so that's good, but to be identified as being on the exact opposite side of any such putrid organization. We've given you examples here of just how putrid they are. In truth, and I said it a moment ago, you aren't worth your salt unless you're being attacked by them, which is something that I noted when asked about it by NBC all the way back in 2006. This is 15 years ago. We've talked about this a few times over the years, but I actually have the exact quote. I went and found the article, NBC article. A Memphis radio talk show gained national attention after being added to a hate group watch list. The radio program has gotten dubious national recognition. This is in 2006, ladies and gentlemen, from the watchdog group, the Southern Poverty Law Center, who has called it a show that caters to guests who are members of hate groups. James Edwards, the host of the Political Cesspool, is ecstatic that his show will soon be listed on the SPLC's hate watch list, a group he calls a bunch of communists and civil rights hustlers. I don't think you've arrived in the conservative movement until you've made it to the SPLC's hate watch, Edwards said. I said that 15 years ago. I stand by the statement. But, like a bad penny, the SPLC always turns up. We are now, once again, Keith, featured in this exhaustive four-part screed that goes so far as to count the number of guests who have been featured on the show and which catalogs each of their appearances. You can read it if you want to. Just go to the SPLC website. But I think,
recast us into the role of being Spectre in the old James Bond movies. We must have some secret headquarters in a hollowed-out mountain.
Dr. Evil.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's more like the caricature of the Bond villains.
Right, yeah, exactly. They, you know, they give us way too much credit. They think that somehow there's some evil organization that is pulling strings and whatnot and causing all these new conservative groups or reactionary racist groups, as they would say, to spring up like mushrooms on your front lawn, you know, after a rain. They have, you know, they've got this incredible conspiracy theory that they create about people who are opposed to them. The people that are opposed to them are simply opposed to them because they realize how evil and pernicious liberalism as, you know, cast by them is and how destructive it is on society.
It's they employed charts, graphs, and even interactive timelines were presented to let you know. The one thing they were right about, of course, is that we were the ones doing this before anyone else, and by a decade, I might add. But they essentially named TPC as the godfather of this, insert your own over-the-top adjective there. But I think there is, of course, a substantial difference between what we actually are and what discredited liars like to pretend that we are. But one thing that everyone needs to remember is that an upright man never shrinks from the truth. And I and Keith and the rest of us associated with this program will continue to welcome these attacks from the anti-Christian and anti-white lefts as a badge of honor. We will face our enemies by looking them in the eyes and with shoulders squared. As always, we apologize for nothing and we retract nothing. But if you do read this SPLC article that largely features us, I would like to remind you to employ our handy SPLC to English translation dictionary. When they write about a racist, they mean a white person, a white nationalist or white supremacist, which is used interchangeably. That's a white man who doesn't hate himself. An anti-Semite, that means a Gentile. A neo-Nazi is a Gentile who has perhaps at one point in his life disagreed with a Jewish person. If you apply these accurate translations to their writings, their articles will make a lot more sense, Keith.
Well, you know, another thing you need to point out about them is their name. That tells you volumes about them. Why are they the Southern Poverty Law Center? Well,
they're certainly not impoverished.
Yep, and they have. They're trying to evoke the the righteous and holy, supposedly, civil rights movement and tie themselves to that. Although, you know, the days are long gone when they were going after Klansmen and stuff like that. They like to point out to that. But see, they can't really base any current fundraising on that because, you know, that's like saying we are protecting you against dinosaurs or something, you know. So what they've done is they have created a new group of crypto-Nazis, crypto-Klansmen, and that's anybody conservative. Anyone on the right-hand side
Anybody to the right of Comrade Stalin is on the list.
that's it, basically, in a nutshell.
We've got to take a break. We're going to get off that, but we got much more to come this hour, so stay tuned, why don't you? We'll be right back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. President Biden's inability to secure the southern border is leading to the deaths of American children as drug cartels take advantage of the nation's vulnerability. Senator Marsha Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee, is in Mission, Texas, as Operation Lone Star gets underway.
To wherever it is they are going in the United States, and as you said, all the time, the cartel gets richer. They are making millions of dollars every week. This needs to stop.
Operation Lone Star has Texas Department of Public Safety troopers assigned to the Texas-Mexico border working to crack down on human trafficking. Democrat California Governor Gavin Newsom admits in a recent article published by the LA Times that his 12-year-old daughter has not yet received the vaccine, despite being qualified. This is USA Radio News.
If cancel culture and censorship continue at their current pace, there will soon be nothing left of the truth. The Epoch Times was founded to keep truth alive. We ask the questions we think you'd ask. We check facts without regards to any political agenda. No one tells us what to cover or how to cover it. We're not influenced by big corporations or political parties. Our great passion is to expose the spread of socialism and communism. We cover the Chinese Communist Party and how it works to subvert American education and politics. We cover big issues like election integrity, the exploding national debt, the fight against coronavirus, and the truth about its origins. We cover Democrats and Republicans in exactly the same way. We have a special trial subscription offer right now. 1 month of our printed paper and total access to our amazing online content for just $1. You'll find it at TrustedNewspaper.com. 1 month, $1. TrustedNewspaper.com. Help the Epoch Times keep truth alive.
President Joe Biden's popularity among everyday Americans is taking a beating. Biden's approval rating has dropped to 38%, according to a Quinnipiac University poll released Wednesday. That's down from 42% 3 weeks ago and from a high of 50% in mid-February. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki explains.
20% of the country who've decided not to get vaccinated. No question that's having an impact. And of course, as the president has said, the buck stops with him.
An analysis of various polls by 538 shows it remains at 44%. That is 6 points higher than the Quinnipiac poll. Food prices across the world have risen to their highest levels in a decade on the back of tightening supply conditions and robust demand, according to the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. Accounting for the bulk of the rise in the index were higher prices of most cereals and vegetable oils. This is USA Radio News.
On the foggy hill rock stood a crazy little demon blowing his top. Fire in his eyes and smoke from his head. You gotta be real cool to hear the words he said. He did the soul for the one he loves, so he had death on his mind, cause my demon let him go. He wanna run through the world till he understand his pain. Somebody help him get my demon home again. He did
the... Well, that's Screamin' Jay Hawkins from the 50s with Little Demon. And you know, Satan is real, ladies and gentlemen, and his minions are out there. We come into contact with them quite often here on this radio program. I can promise you that. Read all of these
things. That should be the theme song for the SPLC.
read the things that they've said. Look at a picture of my family. Put two and two together. And just let common sense be your
guide
or rudder or barometer or what have you. So that'll be that on that.
Understand.
Hey, you know, Keith, one other thing we talked about last week that I would like to revisit, and that is the new book about Charlottesville that we have been heavily cited in. So the title is Charlottesville Untold Inside, Unite the Right. So we talked about it last week, and it instantly went way up on the Amazon bestsellers list. This is a book written by Ann Wilson Smith, and we want to remind people to check it out. I've heard from a lot of TPC listeners who have already bought the book. I received my copy today, and I have ordered five more. So just hang on there. Again, we never ask you to do something we aren't doing ourselves. So I actually got a copy from the author, Ann Wilson Smith, the daughter of the Southern icon Clyde Wilson. But she sent me an autographed copy. Of course, TPC is heavily cited in this book, I think, no less than 47 times, Keith, our program.
Well, I haven't had a chance. I'm about frothing at the mouth like a little demon trying to get my hands on a copy of it. So
it's good stuff, and it is just in advance, of course, of the Charlottesville trials, the civil trials, which will begin in a couple of weeks now, and we're going to be covering that on this program, so stay tuned to that. But this book, you got to go to Amazon.com, Charlottesville Untold, Inside Unite the Right. Charlottesville Untold should get you there if you use that as a search query. Ann Wilson Smith had the opportunity to, of course, talk with Ann, or rather, you know, engage in correspondence and an email Q&A. And again, our work, especially, particularly our program that night on August the 12th of 2017, was mentioned repeatedly, and I don't just mean in one chapter, I mean throughout the entire book. But that's not why you should read it. That should let you know you should read it. But it is the only book of its kind. You know, it's incredible that after four solid years, only one book that attempts to, as the Barnes Review might put it, put history into accord with the facts, has come out. This what this woman has done. Well, this is her first book, and you know, she's a stay-at-home mom. She's a mom. This isn't her field, but she's done it, and she's done it well. And
because
there are QR core codes. You put your iPhone up to these icons, and they take you directly to the website or to the evidence that she has presented in her book. It's very well researched. It's very well written. It includes eyewitness testimonies and the facts, and it totally deconstructs the establishment narrative of what happened that day.
Well, I'll put it in a nutshell for you. Who are the Charlotte villains of Charlottesville? They're not the people on the right, as you've been led to believe by the SPLC and the rest of the liberal media and the governor of Virginia, for example. The real Charlotte villains are Antifa and Black Lives Matter.
Hear, hear.
And I think she'll probably demonstrate that beyond any reasonable person's ability to contradict her in this book.
You know, I think also you can go to Shotwell Publishing. That's the publisher. Shotwell Publishing is
directly
offering
to them, so she'll get all the money.
Well, you can't. Here's the rub, Keith, as it were. If you want the hard copy edition, which I actually prefer, if you want the hard copy edition, you got to go to Amazon to get it. If you want the PDF version, if you want the ebook, you can go to Shotwell Publishing. In fact, let me get the exact website of that up for you. Okay, so just go to shotwellpublishing.com. Shotwell, S-H-O-T-W-E-L-L, shotwellpublishing.com. Search for Charlottesville Untold, and you can get the ebook for $5. That's an incredible. I mean, it's such a good book. $5, you can get the ebook. You go to Amazon, you get the hard copy for not too much more than that. And I have paid, by the way, I want to tell you, even though the author was kind enough to send me a complimentary copy and a very nice inscription as well, I did order 5 copies at full freight. So again, we're doing what we're asking you to do. You need this book. If Charlottesville interests you, and I don't see how it couldn't, it interests all of us, what had happened there, what really happened there versus what was said happened there, the fallout from it all. It was truly an historical event. You need this book. This is the only book of its kind. Not one other book has come out that has offered the facts and the truth. This is an incredible thing.
And it's about to come into the news cycle again because the trial of the so-called Charlotte villains, you know, the people on the right that were arrested or that were, you know, sued by left-wing organizations, that trial is coming up shortly. And I'm sure you'll hear about it and you'll again hear the wrong people mentioned as the villains of the piece, not the real villains of the piece. And I think this book would probably be a great corrective to the misinformation that you're going to get from the mainstream media.
Well, you got to understand, truth gets deplatformed. So with the, I don't know if it was strategically timed to hit just a few weeks in advance of this trial, or if that was as quickly as she could get it done. I had the opportunity to meet with Ann actually in South Carolina when we were doing an event there back in July. Great lady. I mean, she just truly is a Southern Belle. But the timing is uncanny nonetheless. And so get it while you still can. Get it because, as Keith mentioned, in a couple of weeks, this thing is going to be warmed up. It's going to be put in the microwave and warmed up all over again. And you're going to get their
helping of anti-Southern, anti-white bromides.
Anti-Christian. You're going to get the establishment's version all over again in a couple of weeks when this comes back into the news in a big, big way on the heels of this trial, which is set to begin later this month. Only one piece of written material stands in the way of it all, and it's this book, Charlottesville Untold, Shotwell Publishing, Ann Wilson Smith. Get it on Amazon, shotwellpublishing.com if you want the ebook. You got to get it. We got it. We paid for it. I didn't ask for a discount. I could have gotten I paid for it. I wanted to pay for it. It was an honor to pay for it. I paid for it.
Look. The truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free, says the Bible. And the truth sometimes is hard to find, but now this lady has done the great service for us of putting it all together, debunking it, dissecting it, going chronologically through it, and basically quoting a lot of the things that were on our live broadcast. We had an actual reporter there at the time who was calling back information to the radio program that was going on that night and told us what went on that day.
Well, what we did with that particular show was, and of course none of us could have anticipated the trap that the government of Virginia, the local authorities in Charlottesville had laid for these people, these participants. But what we did was we went to our man on the ground there, Bombardier Eddie, in alternating segments. We'd go to him. He would go to just a random person who was there in the crowd, not anyone known to us or anyone else, just a random participant.
Not the big names alone, but everybody.
In alternating segments, we would go to your Sam Dixon or your Michael Hill or your David Duke or whomever was there that was a name to this audience. Henrik Palmgren, I know, was on the show that night. Evan McLaren, who was working with Richard Spencer. And we would do that in alternating segments. We did it for 3 hours, and you got the real raw eyewitness testimony just a couple of hours after the events unfolded. It was truly, I think, the best.
Really was happening rather than what you were told by the mainstream again.
Well, that's right. That's exactly right. And it perhaps is the best show we've ever done in all these years. It's certainly the one that I would point to and say, hey, if you want to know what we're all about, listen to that
look,
one.
This is real journalism. This is where we do real journalism, like the Drew Lackey interview, like the interview with the survivors of the USS Liberty.
We do commentary. We provide commentary. Pat Buchanan is a commentator. That was journalism.
Yeah. But we also do boots on the ground reporting, too. And this is, you know, this needs to be done. This is the real work that Americans aren't willing to do now, okay? Doing this type of work and memorializing the stories of the USS Liberty survivors, for example, or Drew Lackey, who was right there at ground zero when the whole theatrical production known as the Montgomery bus boycott was hatched and unleashed on the world and presented as some type of morality tale to the rest of America and the world.
Keith, one of our listeners wants me to share with you, if someone calls and they ask for your social security number, don't give it to them.
No, I don't do that.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead. Let's hang on. Hey, we'll be right back. We'll be right back. So stay tuned.
Here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
The Frankfurt School developed a theory to explain the workers' acceptance of fascism. The capitalist system developed and sustained a type of family structure, a patriarchal family structure, which produced children with a particular character structure, the authoritarian personality. People who had authoritarian personalities accepted, sustained, and even promoted fascism. Fascism has was defined to include any manifestation of nationalism, ethnocentrism, or racism that developed to a point of conscious political expression. From a Freudo-Marxist standpoint, people with authoritarian personalities were mentally unhealthy. They needed therapy. Since at least 10% of Americans had authoritarian personalities, it was obvious that mass therapy was needed. This went beyond the Freudian couch and talking cure. The mass therapy was to be carried out through the public education system and the mass media. The Institute for Social Research was most famous for its studies in prejudice. The authoritarian personality and dynamics of prejudice were the most influential among these. The late Christopher Losh, who is by no means a rightist, concluded that the purpose and design of studies in prejudice dictated the conclusion that prejudice, a psychological disorder rooted in the authoritarian personality structure, could be eradicated only by subjecting the American people to what amounted to collective psychotherapy, by treating them as inmates of an insane asylum. Obviously, the Frankfurt School had an impact only because its theorists found thousands of followers in strategic areas of the mass media, as well as in higher education. What was involved was too big to be a conspiracy, but so deliberate that it was not simply an outcome of self-generating social forces. One of Hollywood's favorite themes is the man-made monster called the golem. The mass media created the hippie as a direct antagonist to the authoritarian personality. The hippie is a golem who has served his creators well and who has not slipped out of control. The urban militant has been a less tractable creation. It is no accident that now one television program or motion picture after another hammers at the same themes: the stupidity of fathers, the children who know better than their parents, the liberated female who rejects motherhood. Above all, the white male is responsible for all that is wrong with the world. It is this never-ending psychological warfare waged against the white male, which is the enduring legacy of the Frankfurt School. While America's patriots were fixated on the threat posed by the Kremlin, a group of cultural subversives seized control of the nation's opinion-forming apparatus without firing a shot. They deceived many by giving attention to Freudianism. Their successors have moved on to theories of deconstruction. The theories may change, but the actors remain the same. Their goal remains the same: the gradual but total obliteration of our nation and our people.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is a three-minute clip from the fundraising incentive of our third quarter fundraising drive, which just concluded last week.
Right, the total thing is about 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's only 30 minutes long, and that was Bill Rowland, and it's always such an honor to be able to hear Bill Rowland's voice on these radio airwaves, as everyone knows who has listened to the show for a long, long time. Bill passed away in 2013. We sent a thank you letter out to everyone who contributed at the $100 or more level, and you learned a little bit more about Bill. But Bill presented that documentary, which was produced by the Conservative Citizens Foundation. Remember to support their work at americafirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com, americafirst.com. But, you know, the thing about it is, Keith, and we mentioned this, that documentary, which includes cut scenes and graphics and other interviews and contributors, is PBS level quality, if PBS, of course, had ever aired anything truthful and honest about anything serious. It came out in the 90s, so it looks like it came out in the 90s. It doesn't have the picture clarity and sharpness of something that would have been produced this year. But in terms of content, in terms of how it was presented, it is every bit as much on par with anything the establishment could have produced back in the 90s. So if you received that from us, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of your generosity, if you've not yet watched it, watch it. That is a three-minute excerpt of a 30-minute-long DVD that we sent out to everybody, the Frankfurt School. I want to thank you again for your support. I want to thank you again for helping keep us on the air. And we just wanted to put a capstone on the third quarter fundraising drive by playing that clip and whetting your appetite, if you received it, to watch the whole thing, if you've not yet done so. Keith?
Well, let me break it down a little bit further. What he does, he describes cultural Marxism. Cultural Marxism is a variant form of applied Marxism. You have Marxism, classical Marxism, as written about by Marx and Engels in their writings. Then, how do you apply it to real life? Well, communism is one way, but communism wasn't working, and it was obvious it wasn't working by the time that World War I and the was over and the 1920s had begun. So communist or Marxist intellectuals started to question, how did Marx and Engels get things wrong? And there was a group called the Cultural Marxists at the Institute for Social Research. It was originally going to be called the Institute for Marxism, but they decided that would be too in-your-face and inflammatory, so they mollified the name somewhat so it would not cause people to react like that, okay? And what happened was, it was established by a German millionaire, Jewish again, no surprise, at the University of Frankfurt, and that's why cultural Marxist origins are mentioned or described in a shorthand as the Frankfurt School. Of course, you know, it's now becoming very obvious, and it's having to be talked about by people in the mainstream where before they tried to avoid it. Mark Levin, the famous, you know, conservative mouthpiece on the radio, has written a book about American Marxism. And what he's describing is basically cultural Marxism. Why doesn't he just go out and call it cultural Marxism? He doesn't call it cultural Marxism because you look that up on Wikipedia, and it won't be very long before you discover the almost exclusively Jewish antecedents of that theory, okay? Now, he talks about the basic principles behind cultural Marxism. They are the long march through the institutions, critical theory, cultural pessimism, and the therapeutic state. The long march through the institution is how they intend to basically take over the institutions in a society that set cultural values and do it without firing a shot or without spending any coin of the realm. They get hired, they hide their light under a bushel, they get hired onto college faculties or in positions in NGOs or non-governmental organizations like the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, things like that. And also in the entertainment industry and things like this that set cultural values. Once they get in, after hiding their light under a bushel to get hired, when they reach critical mass, they just take it over and refuse to hire anybody that's not of the same mindset as themselves. They're not like conservatives. Conservatives, when they say that, for example, the movie industry is gone, we try to set up an alternative and put all this money into it, or a new college, we put all the money into it. They don't ever put the money up for it. They just sneak in and take it over from within. That's the basic dishonesty of this theory being brought to light. Now, their tools for winning over the hearts and minds of people involve critical theory, which is like critical race theory is a variant of that. They basically say, we eschew anything that has to do with, you know, debate and normal debating. We just, when we run into a idea that we don't like, we just call the person that did it an ad hominem put down, like a racist or a Nazi or a Klansman or something like that. That's what critical theory does. That's how they debate. And what they're trying to do is induce cultural pessimism in the person that is presenting their opposing viewpoint. And if they can't convert them out of shame, what they try to do instead is subject them to the therapeutic state. In other words, what Bill Rowland was talking about, the tender ministrations of basically brainwashing is what it is.
If you got it, ladies and gentlemen, watch it if you've not watched it already. And I want to thank people like John in South Carolina who wrote Dear James and Keith, please find the enclosed donation. As always, thank you for the opportunity to support your radio program. No, my friend, no. Thank you for your support and giving us the opportunity to continue the work. Dear James, encloses the donation for your free speech rights. Keep up the great work. I'll meet you in the final victory. Yes, sir. We'll be there. Hi, James. This is a great one from Mitch. Mitch, thanks so much for the package you sent me and for the special shout-out on the show. Wow, you really made my year. Love the books. Reading them now. More on the way by Christmas. All the best. But could you say hi to Keith for me? Mitch, not only will I do that, I'll do it live on the air, and I'll do it right now. Keith, Mitch in Maryland says hello.
Well, I appreciate it, Mitch, and I'm going to read your letter at length when I get a chance.
Just because I like you guys, writes Philip in Illinois. And then we got a great card from Mike in Virginia, also from Ed up in Canada, all the way in the Pacific Northwest of Canada. Ed's tuned in every week. Thank you, Ed. Thank you all. Thank you, everyone, who donated in September. Watch the DVD. We're going to honor Christopher Columbus when we come back, if that's all right with you. Christopher Columbus. Columbus Day is on Monday. Really a preeminent holiday, or at least it should be.
We'll let you know all about this evil being after these words from our sponsor.